You are about to hear a message preached at Church One on the Gold Coast. To find out more about Church One, visit us on the web at churchone.com.au. And be sure to subscribe to these podcasts so you don't miss out on any new messages as they are available.
Love, you know, it's like something molten just, you know, and you kind of melt with it, with a high temperature of this thing that kind of takes over you. And I could feel this just kind of sort of balls of fire would hit me randomly while I'm speaking to people, that I would pull myself away in mid-conversation. I don't know if I was tired or something, but I certainly felt I was sedated and not really that coherent during this experience that I had, that to the point at one point I would hide myself under a blanket because I just could not get comfort in any way. It was the most incredible thing, because you felt incredibly safe but incredibly vulnerable at the same time. You know, you had this feeling where you're in the presence of God, you're in awe of God, and kind of sort of understanding God's fear, but at the same time you had this incredible confidence that God is completely in control. It was, you know what I'm talking about, Pahu, you had that experience, and I was weeping and crying for about 18 hours nonstop, and it would stop, and I would turn up on Friday morning here, and I was still in the middle of that, and I had to ask the Lord to just refrain and let me get through the church service, because if he keeps going, I'd probably preach and collapse, and people would just say something that is remotely connected to what God is saying, and your sensitivity to the voice of the Spirit when you have those moments is incredible. Now, I wish it was like that all the time, but I know that if it was like that all the time, we'll be quite unproductive. Right? And so, through that, one of the things that God really spoke to me is that God's movement, or when God moves, it's never for the experience alone. God is not the God of just an event. God is a God of your life. Come on, somebody. When you're up in the mountain, He is Lord. When you're in the valley, He is Lord. Come on, somebody. When you go around that same mountain over and over again, He is still God. It doesn't change who He is, regardless of the circumstance of your life. Now, what I want to really reiterate and really echo with you tonight, and didn't speak about it this morning, is that there is, or maybe very, very briefly, but there is a sense of pursuit that we must engage in order to see an encounter with the Lord. Come on, are you with me? Not that the more we pursue, the more we will achieve a higher level of understanding of God, but there's something that moves heaven when we in faith never give up and diligently, like my brother Paul said this morning, that diligently and being desperate enough to seek after God. We know the story of the woman with the issue of blood, that she pursued all kinds and all manners of healing. She went to doctors, to witch doctors, to priests. She went to every church she could possibly go to and spent all her money. But the Bible says she had gotten worse until Jesus turned up and she saw somebody who may have been untouchable, because she was untouchable herself. And in the midst of the crowd, in the midst of being trampled upon, and hemorrhaging and dying along the way, she became not only diligent but desperate. And she said, if I could only touch the hem of His garment. And this is what I'm talking about. When we as God's people, God knows if you're desperate enough for His presence. You can pray all your life, but there's something in the state of our heart that God knows whether there's really true and authentic humility in our hearts. God knows that, and God always answers the humble. You know, I really do think that we as Christians need to engage in some of the basic Christian disciplines that many of us don't do anymore. You know what are three major Christian disciplines that Jesus talked about? How many of you know what they are? They're in Matthew 6. The first one is prayer. Jesus says, when you pray, it's not just praying a prayer, or it really is opening your heart to God and then getting His heart. That's what prayer is. Prayer is not broadcasting. Prayer is not telling God what he doesn't know or what he already knows. Depends on how you want to look at it. Praying is reconnecting and realigning your heart to the will of God. That's why 2 Chronicles says, if my people would humble themselves and pray, repent of their sin, turn from their wicked ways, and I will answer from heaven. There's a divine exchange when God's people pray. Because prayer is about aligning our thoughts, aligning our hearts away from the things of the world and becoming heavenly minded. It's about knowing what heaven wants on the earth and then praying that through prayer. Let me tell you something. It's not in heaven's economy. It's not about getting what you want from God. Because that's man-made prayer. True biblical prayer is seeing the will of God established on the earth through his people. True prayer, in fact, is always prophetic. Because whenever you pray, truly pray, you're actually seeing what God wants to do and you're actually declaring on the earth what is about to happen. That's what true prayer really is in its essence. You notice the Old Testament, how the prophets prayed. They prayed according to God's history, according to the future prophecies of God, and according to the current present situation. They say, God would repent for our present situation because you've done this in the past, and this is what you want to do in the future. We're not there because of the way we're living. See, that's prayer. Forgive us the sins of our fathers, our sins. Forgive us and restore. See, that's what prayer is. That's why God's response is that he restores. God is in the business of restoration. So if you're feeling a little bit far from God, you know, I just want to encourage you to pursue him. And don't ever stop pursuing God. Amen. Don't ever stop pursuing God. And I wanted to talk to you about just a little bit of a snapshot about Elijah and Elisha. And I don't have time to go through all the scriptures with you tonight. But in the book of in the book of 2 Kings, chapter 2. In fact, let's go a little bit earlier than that. I'm trying to find it where it is. In 1 Kings, in fact. All right, here we go. Chapter 19. Verse 19. Should have known that off by heart. So Elijah went up from there and found Elisha, son of Shaphat. He was plowing the 12 yoke of oxen, and he himself was driving the 12 pair. Elijah went up to him and threw his cloak around him. Elisha then left his oxen and ran after Elijah. Let me kiss my father and mother goodbye, he said, and then I will come to you. Go back, Elijah replied. What have I done to you? So Elisha left him and went back. He took his yoke of oxen and slaughtered them. He burned the plowing equipment and cooked the meat and gave it to the people, and they ate. And they set out to follow, somebody say follow, Elijah, and became his attendants. One of the most amazing stories of discipleship is the story of Elijah and Elisha. But it's more than just being an attendant or being second in charge or being somebody where you receive the anointing of somebody you're following. There's something in the nature and the character of Elisha that I believe a lot of Christians don't have today. And that is the ability to pursue God at all costs. And the willingness to leave everything behind, no matter how high the price. And as we know, Elisha's life really started with this calling of God. I call it the presentation. God tapped him on his shoulder. God sends Elijah, who's at the end of his ministry. He doesn't know what to do anymore. He's killed all the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. Now he's depressed. Jezebel's wanting to kill him. He's on top of the mountain. God says, what are you doing here? Elijah said, well, you know, I'm the only one left here. What am I going to do? There's nothing left to do. Then God says, go down to this town, and I want you to anoint Elisha as your successor. He goes to Elisha, who was plowing the ground. He was minding his own business. Come on, somebody. But there's something, you can be minding your own business, but God is watching whether you are ready. Come on, are you with me? It's not always going to be in your prayer closet that you're going to see a move of the Spirit. A lot of people go to their prayer closet and they say, I don't pray no more because, you know, I just don't get it. I just don't get God. He doesn't answer me when I pray to Him. But it's not always in the moments where you feel like you're committing any Christian rituals that God is going to answer. He answers when you least expect Him. You know why? Because what you invest in prayer, come on somebody, is taking effect throughout your whole life. If prayer, that is a way you align yourself to the will of God. If you're praying for the right things, God will appear. He will visit you. Come on, somebody. He will visit you. Hosea chapter 6. Oh, come, let us continue to seek the Lord, for He will appear to us. As the rains, He will appear. Surely He will. God will appear like the winter rains and the spring showers. Elisha was minding his own business, just walking around, but God presented Himself through the prophet Elijah, taps him on the shoulder. In fact, puts his cloak over him, and Elijah walks off. Can you imagine that? Man, this is how good Elisha was. People don't realize this. He got it. Oh, come on, somebody. You know how you know Christians get it? You don't have to tell them. You know how Christians, how you can tell Christians don't get it? You can keep telling them and they still don't get it. When you're being told righteous things over and over again, you don't get it, there is lawlessness in your heart. Because there's nothing that God can do to you that will change your life. Elisha, there were no words. Elijah puts his cloak on him, and look at this. Elijah walks off. I'm thinking to myself, that's amazing. You see, God really knows whether you're responding to Him or not. You can look like you're responding to Him. You can say the right words, but God really knows in your heart whether you really are saying yes to God. He really knows this. See, Elisha understood this. There was no communication, there was no prior connection between Elijah and Elisha. We don't see anywhere in Hebrew customs that someone puts a cloak over somebody and then they become a disciple. We don't see that. Jesus never did that. Come on, are you hearing me? That was the only time in the Bible that that ever happened. And Elijah just did it. And I don't even know if Elisha knew Elijah, because Elijah was the kind of guy that would just appear and disappear. He's like the phantom prophet, you know, and no one knew. He'd just appear out of nowhere, then he'd disappear. I don't think that they're really even familiar with what he looks like. And yet here he is. He puts his cloak over him, this, you know, the skin, what is it? It's, hide, right? He puts it over Elisha. As soon as Elisha felt that cloak over him, I believe he sensed the anointing of God. He didn't need words, folks. And some of us Christians, all the words are just not enough. We have to be told the same thing over and over and over again. We have to run around the same mountain over and over again before we change. That is, if we change at all. Elisha ran after Elijah. You see, after the presentation, you know what happened? A pursuit took place in his heart. He knew when he experienced that anointing, that's what he wants for the rest of his life. Come on, somebody. And you will notice all the way through Elisha's life is about the pursuit of the Spirit of God. That's what happened. He pursued Elijah. Elijah says, what are you doing? I've done nothing to you. He says, no, just wait. Elijah says, I am not waiting for you. I'm going to keep walking. So Elisha runs back, kills the ox. He didn't waste any time, burns the yoke. That's another message there, by the way. Okay? If you kill the ox and not burn the yoke, you'll still be bound. Hello, somebody. All right. Teach about that one day. And he gives them, listen to this, to the people who, and he didn't eat it. Who ate it are the ones that did not receive the call. And he runs after Elijah with nothing except the shirt off his back. Because he knew this was the only pursuit that means everything. Come on, somebody. After he pursued him, he served him. He became an attendant, the Bible says. Right to the end, after Elijah's death, when God's armies were looking for a miracle, and they were looking for a prophet, and there were five kingdoms in Israel, or there were five kingdoms that were going against Israel and Judah, and they said, is there not a prophet? Is there not a prophet? And they said, oh, yeah, well, there's one. At this point in time, Elisha has already fulfilled probably double the miracles that Elijah had performed. He was already the premier prophet and miracle worker of Israel. And this is what they said about him. Oh, yeah, the water boy, the guy who used to give water to Elijah. They still remembered Elijah, even though Elisha's done more things, greater things than Elijah. What point I'm trying to make here, folks, is that what will you be known for? You know, I love the fact that Elisha was known for his humility. In spite of the great things that he has achieved, he was known as the one that held the water, that poured the water for Elijah. Even though Elijah's long gone, even though he had the double portion, he never, ever placed himself higher than where God has placed him. He was God's servant. And it's just amazing. You know, I really do believe, what I'm trying to do is just kind of set the foundations for you. You know, when God presents himself, you must continue to pursue him. And as you pursue him, you must continue to serve him with humility. After he did that, Elisha started practicing the anointing. He didn't just sit there and say, I got the double portion. What have you got? I got double. He didn't go around saying, I'm the double portion man. Right? He did the Lord's work. He practiced. Come on, somebody. A lot of you here have got so much doctrine in your, you know, in you already, but the fact is if you don't practice what you have learned, you will become a Pharisee. You'll just end up looking at everybody else, what they're doing wrong, rather than being what God's called you to be. After he practiced, the Bible, this is just a snapshot. I could teach on this thing for days, right? After that practice, the Bible tells us Elisha finally came to a place where he needed to pass what God has given him, the double portion. He met with a man, a king at that time, Jehu. I don't know if you remember the story. And he called Jehu to his quarters just before he died. And Jehu says, you know, my father to Elisha. I don't know about you, but the last couple of words that Elijah heard before Elijah was taken to heaven was Elisha calling out, my father, my father. Elisha was dying on the bed. He could not move. Linfa, can you come up, please? He could not move. Worship team, can you come up? Thank you. He could not move, and yet when he heard these words from King Jehu, who earlier in the piece killed Jezebel, my father, his ears pricked up because he remembered that this was the passage he went through himself. When he called to Elijah, as Elijah was being taken up to heaven and he sought for the double portion of the anointing of God or the spirit of Elijah, and he says, my father, the chariots. And here's Jehu, my father, the chariots are after us. Elijah, dying in bed with no ounce of strength, jumped out. You know why? Because the anointing and the spirit that was in him was ready to be passed on. Come on, somebody. But unfortunately, that didn't happen. Because Jehu did not have the same passion and the same pursuit that Elijah has. Even though he was king and he's won many battles for the Lord and he'd killed Jezebel, he has a great history. You can be a Christian and you could have done great things in your life, but you must never lose the pursuit of God's presence. Don't ever, ever lose the pursuit of the presence of God. Amen.
You have just listened to a message preached at Church One on the Gold Coast. To find out more about Church One, visit us on the web at churchone.com.au and be sure to subscribe to these podcasts so you don't miss out on any new messages as they are available.